Welcome to the West Virginia Soccer Association Beyond the Pitch podcast here on the West Virginia Soccer Association Digital Network. My name is Marcus Cole. Now, before we begin today's show, I just wanted to remind you that once you've had a chance to check out our program, make sure you give our podcast a 5-star rating and follow us wherever you get your podcast. That helps you stay up to date on all the latest content from us and helps us get the word out to others and let them know that we're providing valuable information for soccer players, coaches, referees, and parents. On the phone with us today is Kelsey Herrick, registered dietitian from Sanford Health, who also specializes in eating disorders and sports nutrition. Kelsey, welcome to our program.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being on the program. Kelsey, before we get started, why don't you go ahead and just let our audience know a little bit more about you and your background and specialization.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have been a dietitian specializing in eating disorders for the past 9 years up in Fargo, North Dakota. I also am a board certified specialist in sports dietetics, or a CSSD. And so to get that, you have to have so many contact hours with athletes and pass a national test to be able to maintain that certification. So I also see athletes pretty regularly as well, too, through my practice.
I figured you were the perfect person to talk about today's subject. We wanted to talk about eating disorders. Now, we have National Eating Disorder Week coming up, and wanted to talk a little bit more about it. I think it's something that is probably not talked about enough, and something that goes on more often than not with our athletes. And you know, just the idea of continuing a discussion on it, and hopefully, you know, maybe somewhere down the road, you know, this conversation may help someone, maybe one or two people, you know, figure things out and at least help them on the way to figuring, you know, a solution to their situation. So why don't you go ahead and just give us a background of what is an eating disorder?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So eating disorders, they're a really serious, but they're also a treatable mental and physical illness. And so eating disorders can affect people of all genders, any age, any race, any religion, any ethnicity, any body shape, any weight. So I always tell people, too, that looking at somebody, you can't tell if they have an eating disorder or not, too. So it can affect anybody. There are a lot of estimates that eating disorders can affect, in the United States, about 20 million women and about 10 million men will at some point in their life experience an eating disorder. Eating disorders are really illnesses in which people will experience a severe disturbance in their eating behaviors and related thoughts and emotions. Oftentimes, people with eating disorders are really becoming preoccupied with food and their body weight and shape too. A lot of times eating disorders are most common with women, oftentimes between the ages of 12 and 35. But men are also affected as well too. There are many different types of eating disorders too. Some of the three more common types would be anorexia nervosa, bulimia nervosa, and binge eating disorder too. And then there's a few other types too among that.
I think you bring up a very good point that I think may go unthought of, is that not only is it a physical issue, it's also a mental issue.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so with eating disorders, it's really important to have a team-based approach too, and not just seeing only one person on the team, because it's all areas that are affected mentally. So it's important for the individual to be seen a psychologist. Medically, there can be a lot of serious health consequences, from cardiac to different organ system failures too. So it's really important to have a knowledgeable medical provider on your team. And then, of course, a registered dietitian who can help with meal planning too.
Now, I know, obviously, that eating disorders can affect non-athletes, but how can an eating disorder really affect an athlete like a soccer player?
Yeah, so it can really take a hit on their performance. Oftentimes, athletes will, you know, maybe start looking at their food a little bit differently because maybe they're not performing as well as they thought. You know, and so they'll start cutting out different foods here and there. And so then their overall calorie intake can change. So they're really not playing as well as they used to because they're not eating as well as they maybe had to. Women will often experience the female athlete triad. So what the female athlete triad includes would be disordered eating, amenorrhea, so a loss of period, and then osteoporosis too. So what can happen when a woman isn't getting her period regularly? That can turn into losing some calcium and some bone loss, and that really puts the athlete at a great increased risk for stress fractures of the bone, or even breaking very significant bones too. So soccer players could experience some stress fractures, and that's going to really take a hit on their performance. Mentally, that's pretty difficult for them to overcome too. I also notice when athletes aren't eating enough, muscle mass will decrease too. So they're not playing as strong. When my athletes are in my office and maybe their parents are coming in, parents will notice, yeah, they didn't look like they were concentrating as well as they had, or they just didn't look strong. They looked like they were really getting out of breath when they were running down the field, too, are some of the things that have been noticed.
Would you say that athletes are more prone to an eating disorder than somebody who's not an athlete?
Yep. So there's quite a few different studies that will kind of look at high school athletes or college athletes. So some of the stats that you can find would be like with college athletes, they're going to have an elevated risk of developing an eating disorder. One study that I found that the number of college athletes at risk for developing either anorexia or nervosa, so we call it AN or BN, bulimia nervosa. So among women, 35% of college athletes were at risk of developing an eating disorder, and 10% of college males were at risk of developing anorexia nervosa. And then as far as developing BN for a college athlete, 58% of women college athletes were at risk, and 38% of college males athletes were at risk, too.
Now, I mean, I don't want to throw any blame or anything along that lines, but where do you see people starting? I mean, where is that starting point of developing an eating disorder? I mean, is it coming from, I mean, for an athlete, is it coming from, I mean, I can just picture in my head, you know, oh, you're too big, you need to lose weight. I mean, where does all that kind of start with?
Yeah, and so each athlete has their different story too. Some of the sports that put a little bit more emphasis on appearance, different weight requirements like wrestling, gymnastics, are kind of popular areas, bodybuilding even, too, where the focus is so much on what your appearance looks like. So athletes will want to start cutting back on what they're eating, or maybe, oh, I need to maybe try to exercise a little bit more too to get that that appearance that I'm kind of striving for. To some different risk factors can even be has that been the sport that the athlete has been at? Have they been training, you know, as an elite athlete for their entire life? Too, that can put them at a little bit more risk of developing an eating disorder. As well too, always giving positive messages from coaches and trainers to, you know, having coaches kind of put positive influences on the athlete overall versus, you know, the ones who maybe focus primarily on the success and performance rather than the athlete as a whole person too can put the athlete at a little bit more of a risk.
Do you see a lot of, and I know that you mentioned that the eating disorder is more prevalent in female athletes. Do you see a lot of situations where the female athlete, you know, maybe based upon a comment or just the way that they because they're an athlete, you know, for the most part, they are fit, they are athletic, they are muscular, that they don't feel like they look like a girl?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you see that a lot in that with the eating disorders?
Yep. Where they're trying to strive to change their body in some way. Yep. And to the individual too, they are going to be seeing their body differently than somebody without an eating disorder. So how their loved ones are seeing them or their friends are seeing them too. They may be feeling like, I am very fat. I don't like the way that I look too. So how can I change that through my exercise, or how can I change that through my food choices too, or even what I'm drinking? How can I change that?
What are some early signs that we can kind of look for to? Because I mean, I know everybody's different in their journey, and in this disorder is different. What are some early signs that we can maybe kind of look for as parents and coaches, and that our athlete may have an eating disorder?
Yep. You know, is your athlete starting to have a preoccupation with their weight? Are they having a preoccupation with food or calories, or looking at different types of macronutrients like carbs, trying to eliminate carbs or fats or proteins too? Are they refusing to eat certain foods? Typically, they'll have snacks on the bus. The coaches will bring food for games. You know, are they starting to refuse to eat certain different foods, trying to restrict whole categories of foods? All of a sudden, they're not eating a carb. All of a sudden, they're not eating a protein or a dietary fat, too. Are you noticing that? Does the athlete look uncomfortable eating around other people, too? Are they maybe disappearing when it's mealtime or right after mealtime even? Are they kind of disappearing? Do you notice if the athlete is maybe withdrawing from being with friends, from being in different activities, mood swings, irritability? Those are often pretty common signs, too, that you can notice that the person's attitude just changes, too. Are they getting injured frequently? That can often be a red flag. Are they somebody who's getting stress fractures just all the time, it feels like? Is there something else going on there too? And then kind of looking physically too, are they looking as strong as they used to? Are they getting, you know, up and down the field as fast as they used to? Are they complaining maybe that they have stomach cramps or that they're feeling dizzy? Are they cold all the time? Are they wearing sweatshirts when it's 80 degrees out? You know, those can be some common signs too. Even looking at appearance-wise, dry skin, brittle nails, those can be signs. Muscle weakness too, those can all be signs that there's something else going on.
I know, as a parent of two collegiate athletes, and you know, sometimes as a parent, you want to, you know, that your child's going to go through some emotional changes and things along that lines as they grow up, and you want to be respectful of that and give them the space that they need. But I mean, you were talking about a lot of the things that you just mentioned were behavioral changes in a person. What can parents and coaches do to help support their athlete in through these different types of changes if they get, you know, into that kind of situation?
Be as supportive towards the athlete as you can, and try to get as informed as you're able to. The National Eating Disorders Association website is a great tool to go. There's a lot of information out there. There's different blogs, there's community support, there's helplines out there too. There's information on even finding what's around. What do you guys have for eating disorder clinics? Here at Sanford, we have we have our outpatient clinic, which is where I work in, and then we have an inpatient and partial hospitalization unit too. So there's different levels of treatment that the individual could go towards too, but always just being that support system for them. If they are being in treatment, see if they would allow you to come to part of a visit, even so that you can get some of those tools from their therapist on how you can best support them. If they're in treatment, you know, how can you be supportive in a way that would benefit them and not feel like they're always having to talk about the food, they're always having to talk about what's going on too, because sometimes it's helpful for that athlete, you know, to have an outlet to go towards where they're not always talking about the eating disorder too.
As we kind of wrap things up here, what if you could give just one piece of advice, because you are a registered dietitian and sports nutritionist, what piece of advice would you give our soccer players, especially our female players, when it comes to their nutrition and just, I mean, to avoid having, you know, developing an eating disorder? I mean, what one piece of advice would you give to them?
Mm-hmm. You know, and I really like to take the approach of all food can be good. You know, all food is going to give you something. All food is going to do something positive for your body, too. And you need a lot of energy to be able to do everything that you need to do. You need a lot of energy to be strong, too. You know, so I always want to try to find the good and the positives about the food, too. Even though it can be very difficult to do, I always want to try to emphasize that it's okay to have those variety of foods and to get help, too. The sooner that an individual can seek help and gets help, the better outcomes that they're going to have, too.
Kelsey, if somebody wants to find out more information about you or Sanford Health or just even eating disorders in general, where can they find you guys?
Yep. So sanfordhealth.org, you can find information on our different eating disorder programs that we have, our inpatient unit, and we take individuals from all over the country on our hospital unit, and then our partial hospital unit is there as well, too, with our outpatient clinic. So sanfordhealth.org, again, you can find information on our units, find information about myself as well, too.
Wonderful. Kelsey, I certainly appreciate you coming on our podcast today to talk about this very important, but unfortunately sometimes not often talked about subject.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening to the West Virginia Soccer Association Beyond the Pitch podcast here on the West Virginia Soccer Association Digital Network. Now that you've heard our show, make sure you give our podcast a 5-star rating and follow us wherever you get your podcast. We'll be back next Thursday with another episode, so we hope to see you next week. Take care.